Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of breath. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are previewing day two of the championships. We've also got racing at Bendigo. Of course, it is the Golden Mile and the Guineas over 1,400 metres. Most Guineas are over the mile, but it's 1,400 metres this week. Fellas, how are we going? Last Saturday was a little bit of a strip out for me, to be honest. And I sort of doubled down in Dubai to try and get it back, and that went pear-shaped as well. What about yous?
On the chase. It ended up being all right. Yeah, I think I won last weekend.
It started well when Alicants pissed in when I was in the river. And then
The rig was out.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to see one of the worst rides you've ever seen in the last.
And do me a favor, mate. That tweet
cop some traction, as it should have. And hopefully he never comes back. Zip at 9 at Randwick. He might be a good rider overseas, but he ain't nothing here. So hopefully
he's won a Cox Plate and a Melbourne Cup and a Golden Slipper.
Yeah, well, he was zip at 9 at Randwick. So
Armour gun.
That ride was fine for what it's worth.
Why Tim Clark wasn't riding the horse to begin with, I've got no idea. It wasn't a Coolmore horse.
No, they do have a percentage in it, I learned.
So what?
Yeah.
When are they going to learn that it's better to be ridden by a local jock than a fly-in, fly-out jock? Like, give me a spell. Anyway, that's what you get.
That's what you get.
It's just heartbreak.
What you get, and you don't get upset. So that's our mantra, and that's what we're moving forward with this week. Any developments off the top? I lost my game of football with a kick after the siren. We had the kick after the siren, and my great mate, Frank Campese, hit the post from about 45 metres out, absolutely flushed the kick.
He would have been lapping it up too. That's the moments that he wants.
Oh, there's no one else you'd rather the ball in their hands. And he flushed his kick. I sent in the video and the wind just took a hold of it. We were down by about 35 points, three quarter time.
Early payout for the other team.
Dead set. You watch the race. You watch the video closely and Frank is halfway through celebrating, going over to the crowd and giving it a big...
and then
you just see the ball start to fade and go, bang, hit the post halfway up.
Sickening.
So, yeah, that was my Saturday. I had a shocking Saturday.
Well, it was a good weekend up on the river, but we stayed up, Adza and I, to watch all the races. And, kind of wish I didn't stay up. That was heartbreak.
Yeah.
That was hard.
All right. We're going to start where we always start, and that is, we call it Metro Melbourne, but it's not actually Metro Melbourne this week. It's out in Bendigo, which is about 2 hours away from the CBD. But we do want to spend more time on Randwick. So I'm not going to introduce these races. I'm just going to pass you the microphone. All right. And you can sort of go through your bets and take a couple minutes with each.
Right. So, no, I won't go through the track report. That'll take too long.
We'll quickly talk about it. The rail's in the true position. I was watching a bit of Jules' stuff, and he actually said it's not actually, you know, historical data. It doesn't actually say it's mad on pace leaders and, you know, that run-ons get their chance. But we've got a hot day, 30 degrees forecast, fine conditions, and the rail's in the true. Do you agree with that?
But the, for example, the 1300 meter shoot, there's like barely any time till you got to. So I sort of like the 400 meter shoot at Caulfield. You just got to start turning, and a lot of jockeys will just have their minds made up before they even come out of the gate. So, you know, in some instances, it'll be, you know, you want to be forward. You play it race by race, but you know, in general, you want to be forward of midfield. I'm pretty much just that across wherever they're racing. I don't try and think about it too much. Just forward of midfield, and that's when you know the advantages are in your favor to an extent.
Yeah. All right. I'll just, we'll do it like this. I'll just introduce the race. I won't go through the market. And then we'll sort of just fly through it like that. Punters. It is 9:37 PM at night. And the quality of these podcasts, once it gets to 11 PM onward, just goes downhill very quickly. So we're going to try and speed through this.
We'll make it good. It's QE day.
Race one, benchmark 78, 2400 meters. Who you got?
Still run, I'm going to be on. It was disappointing last time, but, you know, it was wide on that Moonee Valley track. An interesting point to note is Michael Kent is striking at 21.4% from 6 from 28 over the last 12 months over staying distances with his horses with a median BSP of $9.30. So he's smashing the market expectation. I think that's when you want to find his horses. So Michael Kent, third up. This horse put up a rating at its second start that would just wallop these. So I think they'll be positive from barrier one, and I clearly want to be on Steel Run. I think he's a good bet at that $3.30, $3.20 sort of price going around now. I think he'll probably start like $2.80, $2.60. I'm keen to be on him with Mickey D in this. I'm tipping Mickey D's going to have a big day on Saturday at Bendigo, so hopefully he can kick it off the right way with Steel Run.
Beautiful. We move on swiftly to race four. We skip a couple. It is a benchmark 74. It's over 1,600 metres.
Yeah. The market holds Freight Train in a pretty high regard. I think he's only had he's probably had like less than 10 starts. It's seven starts in his career. He's won three of them. He's lightly raced, and I think he'll improve second up. He sort of held up for a run coming around the turn around Sandown where it could be sort of a set up and sprint. But it was an average tempo, but he, sort of had to go up the inside, and I think he'll improve second up. And I really like the, you know, I'm not forcing a map or anything, but I think he just sort of slots into the three-back running line position or there or thereabouts, and I think he'll turn the tables on Carnival Row. And I think he's a nice horse that the market's got him going to a good level, better than what this race is. And I'm pretty keen to be on him about $4.50, and I think it's more like a $3.50 chance. So Nicky D to go two from two, hopefully.
Bang, bang. All right, we'll go straight to race five. It's 1,100 metres. It's for the three-year-olds. It's an open event. I thought this was a pretty good race spot.
Yeah, it is a good race. You get the favourite who I'm backing. I'm backing a lot of favourites on Saturday. So
look out.
Yeah, watch out. It could be a strip out, but, you know, hopefully not. This Bravehearted...
Sweetheart.
I really like... Sorry, yeah, Sweethearted by Brave Smash. I really like what it did in its first preparation, just ran some big splits, and then it sort of, at its first up run in a big race, a listed race down the straight, it was ran some really nice splits. The last 600 metres was massive. It's taken a step forward, obviously, from its first preparation to this preparation, and... I think if it's close enough, which is the issue, it can be slow away. But if it can hold a spot and be sort of midfield or there or thereabouts, I think they'll run this race at an even to good pace. And I think that Sweethearted has the ability to finish right over them. So Sweethearted in race number five, I think they're betting they're back to 350 is the best price now. I think it's more like a $3.10 shot.
Great. I know you don't have a bet in race six supposedly just yet, but there is a bit of hype around this favorite, Tatsumaki, who's four from four, come from overseas, put down a pretty good rating first up in Australia, and the stable have come out and said a Goodwood is potentially on the table, which is a big step up. I know it's a group one of a lesser standard, but what do you think of him?
Well, he came over with a time form rating of 111, and that puts him in, you know, it doesn't have him winning a Goodwood, but it has him in the picture, like a sort of, like inside 2001 in a Goodwood if he was to run to that rating. And, that first start run, they went really, really quickly. Heart of Glass came out the back. It was a bit on pace that day. Well, I mean, you know, it's Caulfield on a fast track. You want to be on speed, and he had all the favors, but he did it very quickly. Time was good. I like that they've given him 28 days between runs, but he's $1.80, and I wouldn't want to back him. But you know, if he you get a price about him, I think $2.20, $2.40. That's the sort of point where I'm having a long, hard think about it, and because I don't think there's any.
Does he lead from barrier 11? Does he get across and control it? Or?
Well, based on what they did last time, it's lead at all costs. So, I don't know. Who knows? It's not at this point. It's not a race I want to be betting into. I can't see him getting out, but if he does, I will be on him. Like, I don't think there's much in behind him, but
plus 220. 220 you're on?
Yeah, 220, 240, I could get involved, but he's $1.80 now and I can't really see him getting it from that price.
No, we won't spend too much more time on that then. We go to race seven. It's the Gold Bracelet, 1,400 metres, four-year-old plus mares. What's the pronunciation of this name? Because I say Zlotties, but Matt Hill was going with Zawadis.
Zawadis?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely Zlotties.
Well, go and Matt listen to saying, Matt Hill. He says Zawadis, I swear. Her last Sandown win, it sounded like Zawadis.
It did sound like that. And it must be that because, you know, he must have asked the stable or something. It's like that Young Werther one. It's not Young Werther, it's Young Vatter.
Yeah.
It's a German pronunciation. It must be something like that. I mean, and it's Mum's Polska. It's Mum's Polska, so it might be like a Polish name or who knows. Anyway, I'm on. I think this is probably the one I'm keenest on throughout the day. I've got it more like a $2.20 chance. I think that she ran the rust off last preparation because she was coming off a 900 day spell. Like she had an extended period off the track. And then this preparation, she's run two figures that has bettered what she did in her first preparation. And I think she'll appreciate getting away from Sandown, as funny as that sounds, because a lot of the time at Sandown they can sit and sprint, and I think she's a horse that'll appreciate a bit of pace in the race. So I think she gets a nice map. I've heard people saying she'll get worse in midfield, but if you watch her out of the gate, she can really be there, and I think she's a really good horse and will be able to cop some pressure. So maybe three out, one back. Three out, three back, one off, or maybe even the one. I could see her sliding into. So Geordie Charles rides, and I think she's just a bit better than these. I think she's probably a group class mare in the end. I think a lot of these horses will be behind her, and if you're behind her, good luck. So, and Graham Begg's just a trainer you want to find. If you find a Graham Begg horse that you think is over the odds, I mean, just back it, because you know there's no better stable to find than his. I think he's an outstanding trainer.
Yep. As the, you know, to the eye, she's looked very good in terms of late sectionals. What does the data sort of tell you about that?
Oh yeah, she's running big splits. She's running big splits, and the market really liked Thames last week in the race that Soft Love won. They backed Thames off the map, and you know, even though I didn't win, it was a big go, and I think the market might market's got a big opinion of that race, and I think I think she'll progress off that run and getting out to 14. I think they'll smash her on Saturday.
Yeah. Last question. What do you think her ideal distance is? Do you reckon she's a miler in time?
14 to a mile, I think, yeah. Right. She's not a sprinter.
Yeah.
I'm with, for what it's worth. I think she'll win.
You're with?
Really, really good horse. Group horse. It's been a race that I've loved over the years. Foxy, Frieda and co. have been good to me in this race, and I think
Zlotti's will got it by a nose, I reckon.
I think she might have won it twice, possibly. Yeah, she won it by a nose once.
Billy Egan lifted. Yep.
Sleeves.
Sleeves so, up. Sleeves
yeah. Yeah, she's a really good horse. She'll win.
Right. I didn't put the Golden Mile in the sheet.
The Bendigo Guineas or the Golden Mile?
The Golden Mile. I don't really have... I mean, the Bendigo Guineas, I sort of don't really have an opinion in. I think $4 or back Wonderboy, if no strings attached, stays in Melbourne, you get like that $8.50 price that could be on him. But it's not a race I really have a big opinion of, and I don't really want to bet into. I'm having enough bets on Saturday.
Wait. So just to clarify, you sent in race 7, 9, 10 to finish. Which you don't have bets in race 8 or 9, or just 8?
I don't have bets in race 8, but I could have bets in race 9. And I didn't put it in, but I'll talk about it.
Tell us about race 9, Golden Mile. 1,600 metre listed event.
Yeah, so I think Exudo is a little bit short, very short, really. I think this race is a raffle. The horses that I am interested in being on, and I will back, is one Pounding. I thought he's really good. At Moonee Valley behind the instructor, you know, obviously that day it was in very hard to make ground. And I thought he did a good enough job of that. Moody's done this thing, last preparation, they kicked him off over 1,200 metres in the Discovery, and then he was really good again second up. So from 1,200 to a mile. So I don't really have that much of an issue with it. You know, he's a horse that ran third in the Australian Cup at the peak of his powers. And, you know, this race... You know, it's a decent race, but it's not going to take a whole lot of winning. Von Hawk's the other one who sort of poked around the back in the Ajax last time in Sydney. Got way too far back in a race that was slowly run. I think I could sort of projecting him to do something and improve. A horse like Star Vega, you know, he's got over trips, even out to 2,400 metres. He's got some good expected ratings, but he's got a big sprint on him, and I think he could be suited. He's trialed well. I had a look at the trials; they were pretty nice. So I think that he's one that could run a big race for you at sort of 70-1. Lady Jones is a really nice mare. I'm definitely going to be on her. She was $10 versus Grinzinger Bell at Moonee Valley, despite being drawn 11 on that disgusting track. I'll probably go back again here, but I think she's. If she's not a better horse than Exudo, then you know she's a better horse than Exudo, at least right now. And she's $17. One's $4.80, and she's third up. I think she can run a race, even rumbled again as well. So those are the sort of things. Five I've said. Yeah, I could have a couple speculative bets on those five in the Bendigo, the Golden Mile.
Beautiful. Go to 10 now. It's a 1,300 meter benchmark 84, and Pivot City comes up against Proved, who keeps on winning. Pivot City was a horse that I wanted to follow out of the Moonee Valley meeting last start. It was absolutely huge against the bias and obviously returned well gelded. Barrier one, that's the only little sticking point here, Bot. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm on him. I'm on Pivot City. It's not ideal, but he's a horse that has shown speed in the past, so it wouldn't completely surprise me if he's sort of in the coffin, if not three back the fence. I don't know. It's not ideal, but I just have to be on him based on that run at Moonee Valley last time. That was just outrageous what he did. Coming from so far behind on a day that it was hard to do that, and he just sustained that. It was that track was just it was really hard to keep going and run late time because it was so I don't know how to describe it. It was sort of, it was hard to get through really if your horse. It's hard to pick your feet up, and he was, you know, he charged through the line, and the riding was on the wall first up when he won. That race rated really well. Ever since he's been gelded, really, he's put two ratings down, and I think if he gets any luck, I think he's, you know, I've got him 260. I think if you factor in the luck factor, I guess, I don't know. I just want to be on him. I took $3.75 earlier, and I'll probably back him again.
There's the perfect race next start for him.
I think this is the perfect
race. No, legit. If they don't shoot too high, the Wongoom is a perfect race for him.
God.
Perfect race for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, actually.
He handles cutting the ground. It's a listed race. Perfect race for him.
Yeah, it's not about it probably is. But I think 1300 meters is just like, you don't get many 1300 meters races, and this is just as perfect a distance for him as there possibly could be. So really keen on
pencil in the 2026 Canterbury Stakes, Pivot City, the winner, 1300 meters. Now we'll take the Wongoom first. Nico,
I'll take the benchmark 84.
There's got to be a market, actually, or there's got to be a drinking game for every time Nico mentions the Wongoom on this podcast. I don't know if you're on the payroll there at the Warrnambool Turf Club, but gee, you do some great marketing for them.
Just trying to find a winner. It's a perfect race for him.
As are we all.
Tuvalu's going.
Yeah. Last year's champ. He'll have top weight.
Yeah.
Pivot City will be on the minimum.
Yeah. Nah, looking forward to Bull Week as we always do. All right, that was the Bendigo set. We got through it nice and quickly, but hopefully you had your notepad and your pen out and you were jotting down all of Bot's morals. Oh, let's get over to Randwick. Bot, shut up. Royal Randwick. I reckon Randwick is just about my favourite track in Australia. I don't know what it is about being there. Maybe it's because I'm on holidays when I am there, but every time I've been to a championships race day or the Everest a couple of years as well, just fantastic. I love the old members grandstand, just overlooking that winning post. And I just reckon it's an awesome setup. It's not too small. It's not too big. And it's still got a little bit of character. Sometimes, as good as Flemington is, sometimes you're just so far away from the action. And if it's not pumping, it can feel like a bit of a ghost town. Randwick, absolutely love the joint. We'll get to the track. It's going to be a warm day, not quite as warm as Melbourne, but it's 26 degrees. And there is a 70% chance of 0 to 5 millimeters. So they copped heaps of rain in the last sort of couple of weeks, and they did get a little bit more during the week. So the track was a soft 6 into a soft 5. I'd be doing my form for probably a good 4 to soft 5. I don't think it'll get any worse than that. And the other interesting thing to note, Nico, is that it was sort of fence off last week. We go day 2 of the championships and they move it out 3 meters. So I'm expecting it to play pretty fair. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it'll play fine. They might edge off the fence at some point, but yeah, I don't really have too many queries on the track. I think we'll be fine.
All right, beautiful. We're going to start in race 3. Well, I am anyway. It is the midway final, 1400 meters open. Machelade is 380 from Lord of Biscay, 390. French Ruler, 850 and Wrapped, $11. Look, usually this isn't the type of race that I would really want to be playing in, but logged into Form King, looked at the map, looked at the ratings, and I just can't get my head around Machelade not being a bet at $4. I think this is a horse who had a bit of an injury some time ago, was spelled for 500 days, a bit longer. First run after being spelled for that long off an injury, ran second to Here to Shock, beaten only half a length at Newcastle, has returned awesome this preparation, looks to be, you know, getting towards a peak run for the preparation here, third up, draws barrier 2, might lead, but it's just going to be right there on the speed. And you look at its peak ratings, and it's just a little bit better than this field. So in really well at the weights, and there's a good chance we get even better than the $384 on offer, just because it's not a very fashionable trainer jockey combination, and you've got J-Mac on the second line. So I'm pretty keen to start the day off with Machelade.
Sweet.
Race four to the Percy Sykes Stakes, 1200 meter group two for the 2-year-old fillies. Tempted's $3.10. In Karuna, $4.80. Within the Law, $5. Memo, $9.50. Nico, I'll come to you. Tempted, drawn out in 12. Is that where you want to play?
I don't mind the barrier from 12. I think she's been caught up in traffic up the fence earlier in the preparation. I think 12, J-Max is going to have room. He can blend in when he wants. I think she should be too good for him. She's got to pay the penalty slightly at the weights, but yeah, I still think she should be too good for these. If she's not over the top, I think she's just superior.
Yeah.
What about my filly, Military Tycoon?
I'm having something on her as well. But those are the two horses that I want to be with. I'll start with Tempted. I was listening to the Racing and Sports podcast, and they do the famous James Cummings quotes during the weekend. He actually did sort of mention that they don't want to be riding Tempted too negatively. So hopefully McDonald takes that literally and can slide forward somewhere. There is a chance she gets caught wide at some stage, but if she can find a back, then, you know, and if she just gets the right map, then she probably should have won a Golden Slipper. She was mighty unlucky. And she seems, you know, she did beat the Golden Slipper winner the start before in Mahuna. So yeah, I'm really happy to be on her. I think she does have In Karuna covered, and within the Law, well, she's the grey up. She went through the fence in the Golden Slipper, and now she's got to come back here. Has she lost a bit of confidence off that? Not sure. And she doesn't quite have the big ratings to go with Tempted off exposed form anyway. Military Tycoon, I'll have something small on as well. She returned at Flemington. She was awesome. Then she was thrown straight in the deep end in a Golden Slipper. You know, she finished midfield, but I still think that was a good building run into this. And, you know, if you knock on Tempted is that she might be a little bit over the top and a little bit beaten up. Well, Military Tycoon has drawn three. She's going to be right there, and she's only third up. So that's the way I am playing the race.
She was 1,000 to 1,200 there as well. Probably not ideal going to a slipper. She trucked into that too, because I backed her, and I thought I was home on the corner. Took 50s, and I was like,
fill up in Sydney. A couple good yard judges as well say... We're saying good horse, and they
She's a horse for next season.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the shorty of the day in the Arrowfield Sprint, 3-year-old Group Two over 1200 meters. Autumn Glow. She's $1.45. Don't know if she's a 1200 meter horse. Actually, I do know that she's not a 1200 meter horse, but nonetheless, she can still be taking care of these from Private Life $7, Public Attention $8.50, and the big move is for Big Swinger. $34 into $10 over the last 2 days. So really, really big move in betting there. Nicholas, I'll start with you.
I'm so dirty about this big move for Big Swinger. I would have loved to have known that he was going there, because it would have been big odds the place, and it would have been a fantastic bet. I think Autumn Glow will win. I don't love staying at 1,200 second up, but I still think she'll be too good for him. It won't be the prettiest of watches, I don't think. There's going to be a point up the straight where you're like, is she going to win here? I think. But from 5, J-Mac will just put her in the right spot. I expect her to be too good, and I think Big Swinger can definitely run a place. That's your same race multi, or have two bets in the race. Private Life, Public Attention, I've had enough of them. Big Swinger is definitely a good place bet. Just shop around or have a same race multi, and I think that's the way you can sort of get a bit of juice out of the race.
Yeah. I think Imperial Force, he just has to go forward, and they'll lead on him. Bjorn will be telling Josh Parr, Barry too, your only chance, you know, to beat these classier horses is to lead. Enriched probably sits OSL, and there's a chance that Autumn Glow either gets the 1-1 or is two back one off, and it's a little bit difficult to see her getting beaten here. She's not a 1,200-meter horse, as we said off the top, and she was sort of scrubbed up off the bit to chase down Enriched last start, but once she did finally click into gear, she mowed them down. She won dominantly. She put down a new career peak rating, and it is simply a little bit better than these. So, you know, although we don't think she's a sprinter, this has always been the preparation by Waller coming off a little setback. It was always going to be, what was it? Is Derby Munro, was that the first up race?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was called. And she was always going to come second up Arrowfield and then Spell. So, you know, Chris Waller, we know he's a gun condition of horses, and he would have tried to keep her on the fresh side so she can sprint well again. So, yep, she, you know, if you're not on already, I think you can be taking her as the first leg of a couple of your multis. I think if you want to take your same race multis, same race multi as Nico alluded to, Enriched and Big Swinger are the two. Public attention, he might be fresh only. He was terrible in New Zealand and private life, I don't think he's come up this prep. But what do you think?
I thought that Autumn Glow, if they're serious, what they should do is J-Mac should send her straight to the front and run them along and make it a test, because if they sit up, I think she's vulnerable. Well, not vulnerable. She you know, the rating she put down, and she did sprint well, but she made it a test. That's what it was, a fast time. If she runs that rating, she will panel them. But I mean, $1.50, she's not a sprinter. You saw it in her first preparation. She doesn't have that instant turn of foot. She's a grinding filly that will run you into the ground. And if they sit up here, I think the market, you know, geez, I wish I had a look at the Sydney prices, because Big Swinger, that he came back to Pakenham. They backed him so heavily. He put down a rating. He ran in, like, just splits were enormous. I think $11 is still too big. I think he's just about second pick. I think Private Life, Public Attention, and Enriched, I think they're all no good. They are all no good at all. I think Big Swinger is the one that can keep improving. I think if Autumn Glow doesn't win, if it becomes a sprint affair, I think Big Swinger will be the one to beat her. I think he's second pick in the race. But I would love to see Autumn Glow just smash him, because I think she's a special filly. And but at the same token, I think she's a miler and she wants a test, and this one potentially might not be one.
Yep. It is worth noting that another very special Waller filly won this race last year. Her name is Jolie Star. At the time, we didn't think she was a sprinter, because she'd won 1,000 guineas, but you know, now she's won a Newmarket and she's won various other races and ran well in other races. So, yeah, there's some good memories in this race, Nico. We backed Aft Cabin. I think that was our best bet of the day 2 years ago, and that was a fill-up as well.
We cheered him out at stall, I reckon.
Yeah, I think we needed it too.
We did.
It was the turning point.
We definitely did.
All right, let's get to race six. Same scenario here. We've got a very short price favorite who, you know, she might not actually be a mile and a half horse in time, but she might just win anyway. It's the Australian Oaks 2400 meters group on for the three-year-old fillies. Treasure the Moment. What is she going for? I think she's going for her ninth win in a row, eighth or ninth win in a row. She's $1.70. Like a Lucy's been putting up the picket fence as well. Over in New Zealand, she's been transferred to Chris Waller. Is $4.20. Belle to Dell, the three-quarter sister to Very Elegant. She was enormous last week, $9. Verona Rose keeps on running on well, $10. Will, I want to speak to you about this race firstly. Let's talk about the speed, because there's very little of it. How do you think that early sort of pressure plays out, and what's the ideal scenario for Treasure the Moment to be kicking their heads in again?
Well, there's no speed, and that's the issue. I think if any of these are serious and they want to beat her and they don't just want to run second, and I think that could be the mentality. I think we want to preserve our horse so we can run second in a Group 1 race. But if they want to beat her, the way that you beat her is you make it a test, because I do think she's a miler. I don't think she's a mile and a half horse. And people will say, well, she won the Oaks last year, but that was a sit and sprint. You know, she ran them off their feet in a sit and sprint affair. If she controls and dictates and goes at a farcical pace, she will kick their faces in. She's so much better than these. It's not funny. But the caveat to that, if one of these
sort of flies, wants to have a crack and pushes her and does make it a genuine mile and a half. I think she's, you know, not to be a downer or anything, but I think she could be vulnerable, and you know that's not vulnerable in the sense that she's, she's $1.76 is the best price. So if you want to get her beaten, you want to find something to back her. I think the angle that you play is one where you think that she won't run a strong mile and a half, and I don't know. People will say that the Varnery stud, well, she felt the ground. She didn't get through it as well. I don't think that she ran a strong. Well, she did. She did run a strong 2000, but it wasn't anywhere near what she did in the cutie. So she's a miler. I'm adamant on that. But yeah, I think the way I've priced her $1.90. I've heard a couple of people say this, like a Lucy. It's put the picket fence up. It's a nice horse. It's got some big SP. It's had $1.30 in the New Zealand Oaks, but you know the ratings there aren't as strong as some of these fillies we've got here. I think if you're going to try and get a beat, I think you play out wide with sort of Miss Alexis, who was massive, the daughter of Jamaica, who ran massive splits in the Adrian Knox and might be able to settle a little bit closer, especially if they make it a test. Sun and Sand as well, who ran a nice enough race there. Sort of got shuffled back a little bit. And obviously Belle Detel, who won the Adrian Knox. He was, you know, well backed. I think when we did the preview, it was $14. It started $6, second or third favourite. No, second favourite, I think, because that Dominetta was out the gate.
Second favourite.
And obviously Verona Rose, who was really good, was gaining on Treasure of the Moment over the last sort of 400 metres. And, you know, people will say, we'll just keep it simple and back Treasure of the Moment and chuck her in all your multis and stuff. But, you know, if you're really wanting to do the form and not to the, like, if you want to try and find an angle to get a beat, I think it's definitely the pace angle. And if I was going to bet in the race, and I probably will just for a bit of fun, I'll probably just back Miss Alexis and hoping that she can progress upwards on the quick backup.
Yep. The way I see this race playing out, I think one of the bolters will chance their arm, go forward and take up the lead. Damian Lane comes across. I think he sits second, and he'll just have the one lone bunny to chase down. I don't think they're going to go at any helter-skelter tempo, and I do see her sort of taking over at the 400 and being too good. From a ratings perspective and profile, I don't know if I've ever seen a more dominant looking ratings worm bot on Form King.
No.
It's about as dominant as you get. And we're hearing that the ratings over from New Zealand, like a Lucy, we're hearing that she still needs to make up a couple lengths on that as well. So yeah, I'm in Treasure of the Moment's camp, and I have been for quite some time now. I've taken an all-in bet, which isn't that much better than the current price, but I'm still happy enough. I think Baltadal is the one who can run second. I thought she was really good last week. I thought it would rate better, the Adrian Knox, but you can just see her improving on that again, and I doubt 2,400 metres is going to be an issue. Certainly wasn't an issue for Very Elegant. It was her best distance. Nico?
It's sort of like, sort of reminds me of Yankee Rose coming in off the Cox Plate rating into the 2016 VRC Oaks. You know, she ran third to Winks, and then they just, you know, she lost because of
the thing we haven't
lengths off the pace, but you know,
the thing we haven't mentioned yet is that Treasure the Moment has already won an Oaks, so I know that wasn't a fast tempo either, but she has won at 2,500 meters.
Yeah,
Nico,
I think she'll murder him. Go quick, go fast. Doesn't matter. She's got panels on him. Yeah, I can't understand how anyone's trying to pick holes in her. I think she's a really, really good horse. And she'll just beat him again. I think $1.70 is overs. I think she's probably like $1.40 chance. Like a Lucy has been good, but she's been up a long time and she's not going to have the speed to sprint with Treasure. Yeah, that's the race. I can't understand why anyone's trying to get Treasure beat. It's just don't ignore the obvious. $1.70 is overs.
Yeah, Willie, I know this has got nothing to do with her chances in the race, but Willie Dewitt came into the last week's Derby with bigger wraps than Like a Lucy. I think he's a better horse, and you know, I would place Treasure the Moment. Eliana's probably the better stayer, but you know, you can try and sort of form an angle there. I think Like a Lucy's just got adrift, but then again, it's J-Mac and it's Waller. Treasure the Moment back on dry ground. I think slow tempo. I think she just wins. All right, Nico, we'll stick with you here, Sydney Cup, because you've got your girl going around, 3,200 metre group one, obviously handicap conditions. And Alal Clance has won three in a row. She's $2.40 from Zardozi, $8. Birdman has seen really good support. I think he might have been $17 all in, into $12 final field, now $8.50. So lots of good early specking, gets in on the min, ran second to Alal Clance last start. Duke Decess is also tens, and last year's winner, Circle of Fire, is $18. Is it the mares on top for you?
Yeah, I'm happy to stick with Alicant. She's got no weight. She'll go forward. She'll be strong. She'll be fit. I don't think 3,200 metres will slow her up. Yeah, I think she'll just win again. I think she's short enough at the moment. I think we'll get closer to $3 come Saturday. But, yeah, I'm happy to stick. I've had a saver on Zardozi at bigger odds, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Zardozi. I'm getting a bit over her, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I think Alicant should get to $3 and she'll be a good bet.
Of all the Group 1 races and of all the shorties, this is probably the one, I mean, this is probably the one where I'm more inclined to take on. Especially at this price. I mean, if she gets the $3 plus, then fair enough. But got to assess the race as it is right now, and she's not a bet for me. So there's going to be a couple that I've backed. We've backed Zardozi at a really big price all in at the sixth day. Got a bit of mail that she was targeting this race. Look, I know it was a weak Melbourne Cup, but at the end of the day, she only got beat a length in a Melbourne Cup at 3,200 metres. I think that run in the Australian Cup will bring her on. Fast pace, 2,000 metres. She's now fifth up. She's got a couple miles in the legs. She draws well for Karen McAvoy, who, you know, we love to slander McAvoy at times because he's not the jockey he used to be, but I do believe his strength is balance in the saddle, and balance counts for plenty on these stays. And that's where I think that's where his one wood lies. Duke Decessor is another horse I've backed at $12. I thought he was absolutely outstanding in the Tankard Stakes. He's just about in career best form. And he had a horse come around his outside and he wasn't able to really dictate in that race, but he sat second. He ran really well, only just beaten by Dubai Honor. It was just a little bit too good for him, a little bit too classy over the latter stages. 3,200 metres, yeah, might be a question mark, but it's a question mark for lots of these horses, including the favourite. So he's going to get a beautiful map from Barrier 2. He's going to be there a long way. The other horse that I'm considering backing is Birdman. I have missed the price, but look, he does have stayer written all over him. He was running home well behind the favourite last start. Gets another one who gets a really economical map from Barrier 1, and $10 plus might get me. Circle of Fire's got to be a chance as well, but yeah, the gate's sticky.
Mm. Will? Yeah, Alal Kantz looks short. She got a relatively easy time of it last start 7 days ago. Or what is it, 4 days ago now? I she was really good there. She won by three lengths, but she did get a relatively easy time of it, and there will be more pressure here. Like, there has to be. She can't get another easy lead. And she might thrive on it, who knows, but Chiller 60 is well short. You know, you've got Duke Decessor, who won a Caulfield Cup. You know, she does get weight off him, but you know, the Caulfield Cup winner sitting here at double figures, and she just still was 60. Birdman was running massive splits at the end of that race, and backs up. Barrier One's a little bit icky, but if I was going to have a bet in this race, River of Stars was interesting. She was good in the Tankard, I thought. She doesn't. She's probably not a horse that has a sprint on her. I don't
I don't know her too well, but she started $20 there, Betfair SP. Circle of Fire was really good as well. He's drawn barrier 22, and they might just give up their chance of winning at the start. But mainly, I think Duke de Sasso is he's got to be the one, isn't he? Like second in the Tancred. You know, he'll be up on speed. He'll probably be three back the fence. He'll get an economical run. He is a Caulfield Cup winner, for goodness sake. He's fourth up, coming off a second to the second favourite in the Queen Elizabeth, and he's, what, fourth pick?
Yep.
I mean, that's just an auto bet, isn't it?
Look, we say there's got to be more pressure in this race, but what horses can we see going forward and applying it? Because there's not many natural leaders in the race.
Well, Dick Cesar will go forward. River of Stars will go forward.
Hopeful, maybe.
Yeah, Hopeful will be there. I think Zardozi will punch up. She sat positive in the Melbourne Cup. She's drawn barrier three, so similar barrier to what she got in the Melbourne Cup. There just has to be more speed. There just absolutely has to.
Yeah.
They're not gonna go slow here like they did. And if they do, I'll be surprised. I mean, they did run the Doncaster at a farcical tempo. Like, it's a Doncaster, so, you know, these things can happen. But if I'm a betting man, which I am, I'd say it's not going to be slow.
Yeah,
or slow, not as slow as last time. It could be slow, just not as slow as last time.
Last horse to mention is Arapaho, who ran fourth in Tancred, you know, honourable fourth. 3,200 metres, some query, but he has ran fourth in a Sydney Cup before. Any chance?
Yeah, it's got to be a chance. What price is he? Yeah, he's probably at the right price. I've got him $21. He's $20. So, yeah.
All right, maybe throw him in your quaddy. All right, let's move on to race eight. What a race this is. The Queen Elizabeth Stakes, 2,000 metre group one, and this is a proper group one. Every year, the few races that rate the best on the Australian calendar in terms of official ratings. So this is how ratings work in terms of not our Form King sort of Wait for Age or DNO ratings, but official handicap ratings go on the average rating of the first four horses who cross the line. So when the Hong Kong Jockey Club put out the top 100 rated group ones at the end of every year, it goes off the first four horses across the line and their handicap ratings. So every year it's the Cox Plate, it's the Queen Elizabeth, it's the TJ Smith, and now that the Everest is a group one, it'll be the Everest as well. Those are probably the four best races and have been four of the best races in Australia. So this is a genuine Wait for Age, you know, battle. It's $5 million and the form of this race will stand up anywhere in the world. Via Sustainer, the $1.90 favorite from Dubai Honor, unbeaten 3 out of 3 in Australia, is $6. Chaewolf, $14. Rusham Park, $15. Buckaroo, $15. And Light Infantryman, $16. It's that sort of race. Light Infantryman's coming off a huge win in an Australian Cup, and he's that sort of price. Firstly, Will, let's start with the speed. We've got three Yulong mares in this race, and two of them will be vying for the front position, and that is Deny Knowledge and Full Count Felicia. Despite Pride of Jenny not being in this race, we know she won it so incredibly well last year. I still think there's going to be a decent amount of pressure. What do you think?
I was there last year. It was mental. Deny Knowledge will lead. Full Count Felicia will be. Lindemann will probably sit positive. Light Infantry Man will probably want to be there, I'd imagine. I don't know much about this Geoglyph. He was. Do you know anything like?
Old form. He's got old.
Yeah,
form.
I know. I know. I know that. But like from a pace perspective, can he settle forward?
Oh, like he can. Yeah, he can. But I think he'll be in the first six. But he's not going to be contesting.
So he's going to be
Deny Knowledge and Full Count Felicia. Yeah,
yeah.
He'll be there.
No, but he'll be there. Lindemann will be there. Yeah. Obviously, Chaewolf will go back. Vauban probably goes back. So does Dubai Honor. Rushan Park as well. So the ones that are drawn wide, they're probably going to go back anyway.
Yeah.
Buckaroo's got no real speed. V Sustainer, where do they end up? Three back the fence? That's probably her main.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If you're bang on.
Yeah, if you're gonna try and get her beat, I think that's the angle is, you know, it's sort of like Pivot City. Like if she gets out, it wins. But like, I don't know. And they run along too, so she's more likely to get the split. But you know, if you want to try and play that angle, the map angle, but at the same time, she does have the best jockey in the world on board. So, yeah. Form-wise, what are you saying?
Form-wise, I'm saying I've got Versus Anna going to 106, around that.
106?
106, yeah.
I thought 107.8 was the Australian.
So 106, 107, 108. Stakes. I think 106 plus, I think she wins.
Yeah, but if you've got a 106, you don't have her odds on.
Yeah, potentially, but I just think for the first time this preparation, she's going to see real pressure. And I think that's going to bring out the best in her. Full count Felicia is the other Waller mare. She's 100-1, but she can go really fast. Overseas back home, she has sort of adopted these Prodigy tactics before. She's beaten a pretty decent horse named Moira. And Waller admitted in his weekly update that they did go too slow, but they purposely went too slow because it wasn't the grand final. He's going to be telling Karen McAvoy to go forward and go fast. Deny knowledge only knows one way, and our only chance to win is by going fast. And I just think the field's going to string out. Via Sestino and J-Mac are going to get the gap at some stage from barrier one. And like I said, she's fourth up. This has always been the grand final. She's on dry ground. And, yeah, I think she wins. I think she wins comfortably. And I don't think there's another horse in this race who you can really project going to that 107, 108 range that Bot is sort of speaking of. To buy on her, I think he's a really good place chance. He's going to get back from 12. Can he give Via Sestina a four-length head start, five-length head start, and still run her down? Don't know, but I think he'll run top three. And Rushen Park, I think... What was that?
I was going to say, if he can get his revs up while Via Sestina is sort of locked away at the fence...
Yeah.
I mean, that's how he wins, but, you know.
Yeah. And Rushen Park is probably the only other horse I give a genuine winning chance to. He's a horse who can mix his form, but the best of his form is world class, and he's probably in the top seven or eight horses in Japan right now. So, yeah he's a big price considering he almost beat Rebel's Romance. He's got form around Regularia, you know, Blow the Horn, Bellagio Opera, those sort of really good Japanese horses as well. But yet again, he's going to be spotting them a head start from 11.
Yeah, I mean, and that, he was slaughtered versus Rebel's Romance. You watch that replay in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, that's the Breeders' Cup turf.
It is 2,400. I think he's more of a mile and a half horse, so that's worth noting.
Maybe. Yeah, but they're going to run this along. It'll be a test. I think he's probably... You could make him second pick pretty easily. I think it's been well sort of communicated that Dubai Honor is best in slowly run races. That's how he smashed us up 2 years ago. And it was slowly, well, not slowly run, but it wasn't a test at all. In the Tancred, it was sort of average for us, but you know that's farcical over in the UK. So. I mean, if you want to play that angle, Dubai Honor is not going to be suited in a strong race, a strong pace, and he's going to get back to last or thereabouts. You'd pretty easily make Rushen Park second pick, and that's pretty much what I've done. I think Via Sestina is about the right, like $1.95. I've got $1.94. It's $1.95, so launch punters. I think 220 is probably the price where you're like, yeah, let's have a bet. But other than that, you probably just have something small on Rushen Park at that price, $16. I think that's fair. But yeah, what else did I give it chance to or thought that was, I think everything else, everything's so exposed. It's a big grand final. Everything is just, you know, I sort of thought Tom Kitten was a little bit big early, but they've clipped that up. Yeah. I mean, just see what Chaewolf does, but getting into a proper race. But then again, he's been all like he won the fucking, what was it called? The Neville Selwood by a nose.
Yeah, it was an ugly win.
So I think you're betting in the race. You probably back Rusev Park at 16s, and then if Villa Sassana gets out a little bit, 220 the day, then you have a bet. But otherwise, like personally anyway, that's what I'd do.
Nico, let's get you involved here, mate. Look, we don't think Villa Sassana is going to produce her Cox Plate performance. That's a 114 on the weight for age scale, but surely we still think she can get the job done here.
Well, she doesn't need to for starters. I think she'll run her 107, 108, fourth up, grand final. And that'll be more than good enough. I think Dubai Honor is the only threat to her, but he's got more against him than what she does. 2,400 back to 2,000 on a quick backup, which the stable have said isn't ideal. Back on firmer ground, I think they'll go a solid clip here. He'll be at his top quicker. Yeah, I just don't think it pans out too well for him. I think one is fine for Villa. I think she'll be three back the fence. They'll go quick enough up front. J-Mac will get off the fence at some point and she'll be too good. I suspect we get a little bit better on Saturday. I think 220 is fair and you have a bet.
Beautiful. Simple as that. We've got
the
green and white flags, and we're cheering loudly for what is, well, I think we can comfortably say Villa Sassana is our best horse. She's gone for 7 Group 1s in the season, which is a record that will match the great Winx, and she will be, no doubt, Horse of the Year this year. So, yeah.
There's a sense of timing. She's just done enough sort of all prep. She's set to peak on Saturday, I think.
Yeah. Voila. He's the grand final trainer.
He is.
Race 9 is the queen of the turf. And speaking of grand finals, we've got another Walla mare here who is fourth up. She sticks to 1,600 metres, her pet trip. She gets a dry Randwick track. She draws well, James McDonald, and she's been pretty good this preparation, must admit, as well. She's $1.95, been well supported from Steffi Magnetica, $5. A tissue, she's actually being sold at the National, the Magic Millions National Broodmare Sale later this month. So this is her final race. She's been a bonnie mare. She's $7 from Lazura, $9.50. Amelia's Jewel, $12. And Grinzingabelle, $14. Grinzingabelle is the horse I want to, not the horse I want to back, but the horse that I want to start with because she holds the aces to the pace in this race. And Declan Bates, well, he's on board and we know what he can do on a front runner. She is the only designated leader in this race. And she, on a very heavily biased Mooney Valley track last start, she was well-backed and Declan Bates took full advantage of that, took off from the 800 and sustained a good gallop to win. I think she is the only possible thing that could be, the only thing that might be able to get under the armor of Fangirl, because Fangirl is a big turn of foot horse. She likes slow tempos and Grinzingabelle could really light this race up from the front. So that's my only little worry, but I'm on Fangirl. Will, what were your sort of thoughts in this race?
I sort of thought originally that Steffi Magnetica has just won a Doncaster, has she $5? But the more I look at it, yeah, I probably think that, I think it looks just about right to me. Like there's nothing that stands out to me. I think there's probably 3 chances. I mean, unless they give Grinzingabelle too much rope and she gets away with it. I thought that maybe, yeah, I think Fangirl, I've got a $2.15, so that $2.40 bigger is interesting. Steffi Magnetica $5.30 and a tissue $7.60. So, it's pretty much bang on the market. I think Amelia's Jewel's been disappointing this prep. I think she had a chance in the Cornwall and was just awful, really. And she got everything, she got the perfect scenario first up in the guy Walter, and she was awful. I mean, like, she won that race, but this prep, I just don't think she's come up. I don't know. Maybe she's just done. She could be, or at least at the top level. But yeah, I have no real thoughts other than Fangirl's probably a bet at $2.40 or bigger.
Yeah,
she got J-Mac on. That's big. Like, she's a lot of the time she's gotten beaten
think she's got a low cruising speed in high pressure races. She's pressed to go early, and that doesn't suit her. But by the same token, when they go slow, and she's out the back because they think that's her running style. All the lesser jockeys get on her. They send her at the back, and her low cruising speed and how they like to ride her works against her because she likes to rip home, but sometimes she can get too far back and it doesn't work. So
yeah,
Fangirl is obviously top pick, and if you think otherwise, yeah, you're wrong.
She's got two really wow sort of ratings and wow moments on track, and they are the King Charles when she made Mr. Brightside look second rate, let's be honest, and also the Apollo Stakes. So that was around the 105 mark for both of those. She's never really got back to that since, and she doesn't really need to be winning this. She still ran awesome in the George Rider last start. She did cover ground. I know sometimes we do overrate this sort of three wide, no cover, that sort of thing, but I still thought she covered more ground than the winners, and the inside lanes were a slight advantage. So I thought she probably should have won that race over Gringotts and the like, Chael Wolf, and I think from barrier six, I think she just gets her ideal scenario. So yeah, I think she'll just be a little bit too strong for Steffi Magnetica and a tissue who, note, has won this race 2 years ago and ran an unlucky second to Zugocha last year. So the 2,000 metres back to 1,600 metres is a recipe that has worked really well for Waller mares in the past. She can run well. I'd have Fangirl on top from a tissue, then Steffi. Lazura is flying, but barrier 12, you just know they're going to concede defeat at the start. Nico?
I'm in agreeance with you blokes. I think Fangirl should be winning. I'm on the floor after last start. Like, she got out to like $6.50 or something ridiculous.
Crazy price.
And she just went absolutely huge on a day where no horse did what she did. And I thought she got the bob on the line, and it was a slow death. She went out of this world last start. I just hope that hasn't taken too much out of her, and she's got another run left in her. I think it's good that they've lowered the sights to come here. And if you listened to Waller's preview with Charlie, they essentially said that Veya will go to the QE this year, and there won't be a Veya in the QE next year, so Fangirl will get her opportunity at 2,000 metres. Because I don't think 2,000 metres is a query for her, but she's always just had to run into her stablemates, so she hasn't been awarded the opportunity to win at 2,000 metres. I don't know if I subscribe to that. I think she's a really good miler, but the end of 2,000 would be suspect, I think. Sometimes those horses that are in behind and have bad luck over 2,000 metres don't always tend to run out 2,000 metres the way they look like they should, if that makes sense. Like, when they're unlucky, they look like they should win, but when they have the opportunity to win at 2,000 metres, it's not that straightforward.
And I'll just elaborate on that quickly. The race you speak of is the Cox Plate when Romantic Warrior won, and it did seem a bit of like Mr. Brightside ran awesome in that race, nearly won. Fangirl was strung up behind them. You know, you could argue that she should have won. It was a race where horses who are good at the mile and not necessarily proven at 2,000 metres seemingly overachieved compared to what some of their other form is at that trip. So, yeah, it was an interesting race.
And the worst thing was we got like 60% of Romantic Warrior.
Yeah, he wasn't always top that day, I don't know.
But, yeah. I think Lazura is a really nice horse. Obviously, complete moral beaten last start.
Jesus.
And she's going to go back from 12, but I really like her as a horse.
Yeah,
she's a nice horse.
But yeah, I don't know where AJ's at. Like, was two back just her kill against nothing? Is she up to the top grade over here? Like, what do you do?
No. Move on.
All right. Yeah.
Sweet. I won't introduce this race properly, but the Sapphire Stakes 1200 meter Group 2 and commemorative, the Jumbo Jet is what you call her, and you like her drawn out, J-Mac on, and maybe the outside lanes late in the day. Is that where you want to go?
Well, it's going to be, yeah, that's, she's on top for me in this race, but it's going to be tempo dependent, because if they go slow up front, she's going to be back and it's going to be hard for her to reel off the sectionals to run over the top. She's clearly the best horse in the race, I believe. Alenchi is a bit of a myth. Estriella, well, what's she doing? Lady Laguna was the other one that interested me, but she's been unwanted in betting. I can't really understand it. Like, she's a good horse on her day, and I think she's probably second elect. Does she just want some cut in the ground, maybe? I don't know. Like, she's a good horse.
Yeah, she was a bit, oh no, like it was a, she was beaten four first up, but it was a, fucking Oakley plate in a Galaxy. So, yeah, $10, decent price. I feel like, I do feel like Alenchi is going to run well. Kept fresh, 1,200 metres off a nice trial, but
I couldn't have it.
She's a little bit frustrating. All right, let's wrap up there. Just in terms of the deep dive, Will, I'll come to you now. Around the grounds, any other bets out wide?
Yeah, I've got one tomorrow night at Cranbourne. It's for the new stable. This Iced Chocolate brings a strong ratings profile up from Queensland. Comes down to Dan Meager, who I think is a ex-Singaporean trainer, and I think he's quite good. He's got a hold of Iced Chocolate, and I think he'll go straight to the front. Trials have been really good, and I think he'll break his maiden, and I've got him odds on $2.45 is the best price, so that'll be your Friday fill-up. Iced Chocolate. Hopefully we'll be drinking something other than Iced Chocolate on Friday night after it wins.
Hopefully a chocolate martini. Nico, give us your two at Morphettville.
Race 5, number 2, Gallant Sun. Don't know how it's not favourite.
Mm.
Reserve Bank is a bit.
What's favourite?
Reserve Bank.
Ugh.
They opened 750 Gallant Sun.
Crazy. Oh. Crazy. It's into $4.
What race is that?
The Redolva.
Number?
5.
5. Anyway, I think Gallant Sun's a great bet. A length off Alabama last start, albeit margin flattering. Still, clearly the best form coming into this.
How much can you possibly have on that? God, 750. That Reserve Bank is a skunk.
Agree.
No offense.
Yeah, I don't know how they open 750.
Gallant Sun will. That'll start $2.50 shorter, maybe even.
I hope you're right. It's a good bet. And then you go to race number 7, horse number 7, Asfura. I know she might not be ready and there's all this talk, but she's still $3.50 in a group 3 against Aviatrice. Like, what? Like, even if she's not ready.
Yeah. Royal Ascot winner, second pick in the R.N. Irwin Stakes Group 3 contest at Morphettville.
Like,
seems crazy to say.
Yeah, I know. But I can see why. I can see why.
She's going to the Sangster in horse, but, 2 weeks,
you know,
over 1,200, where she's questionable before going overseas. But 1,100 is her sweet spot.
Yeah.
Fit or not fit, she's going to be pretty close to it. She's just a very, very easy bet to have, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And I still can't get over Gallant Sun opening that price. I still can't believe that.
You need to look outside your box sometimes. Oh, no, the 750, I don't think anyone would have saw it, but to be completely honest.
No, but like still 380. I still can't believe 380.
Yeah. $4, I think, bet 365.
Let me see.
And Sunday, we'll just wait and see some prices for Pakenham. We'll do something up there.
I've got two. Asfura, race 7, Morphettville. I agree everything you're saying. Look, apparently the talk is that, you know, England took a lot out of her. She might not quite be ready. Well, that's sort of fair enough, but the market is taking that very, very literally, opening her up at $4, which is the price that I snapped up right on the opening. This is a Group 1 competitive mare. here in Australia. She ended up getting her group on overseas in a King Stand. I don't know if you've seen the winners list for a King Stand, but it's pretty bloody good. I know those sprinters aren't of group one level on a global scale, but still, she draws barrier three. She's probably going to land in the lead or outside lead. Aviatrice is 1,200 meters back to 1,100. I don't know. She might be completely gone. And if she's gone, that's fine. She might blow up and that's the end. And she's not going to England. But it's not like when you see these types of odds, you've just got to have a bet. So that's what I'm doing. And the other one, great race over in Ascot, race eight. The ratings will tell us that number seven, Joker's Grin, hasn't put down a big performance yet. And he's got to go up from 55 kilos to 58.5 kilos. But you just have to forecast into your pricing the expected improvement that is to come. If he didn't get out last start, he would have been the biggest certainty beaten you've ever seen. I didn't back him last start. I was on Bravo Centurion at 1,000 meters.
Let's not up to talk the 1,100.
No, we won't talk about that. It was a dirty old finish to the day. Up to the 1,100 meters, drawn barrier three. Joker's Grin, I think, just wins. This is a decent race. Like, some of these horses will be racing in the Quokka and the like, and he's one of them. I think he's the best local chance in the Quokka. And I know you've got to forecast a fair bit of improvement to get him into $2.60 sort of price. I think you can. So, yeah, he's an exciting horse.
Yeah, no knowledge right. From me.
We need a buck. We need a lay. And we need to pray. Sometimes I forget to do this segment, but I've written it down this week. So, Nico, have you got one for us? We need this podcast multi to land as well, boys, because there are so many popular favourites. This one's got to land.
Well, my best would be Treasure. I think Treasure is the horse that's the biggest over the odds from what I would have in mark. So she'd be my best bet. My best value would be, I don't really have a best value, to be honest. I don't really like anything out wide. And my lay, well, take your pick. I don't really have a firm lay at the moment. Well, Private Life and Public Attention, they won't
lay them a place.
Yeah.
Lay them a place.
Lay Private Life the place.
All right, sweet. Will.
Yes. So Lottie's will be my best bet. Lady Jones at $17 and Otago in, I think it's the third race, yeah, the third race, is $4. It's resuming a 400 days with 62 kilos. No, thank you.
All right. The baton is hand over to me. We've got Treasure the Moment, $1.75. Zalotti's $3.20. Do I go Via? Do I go Fangirl? Do I go The Coward's Way Out and go Autumn Glow?
Via.
Via or Fangirl? Via or Fangirl? I'm not going The Coward's Way Out. Thoughts, Nick?
There's 5 cents between them.
Yeah, but
Via, she's more trustworthy.
Via. All right, we're going Via. We're going the best horse in the country. So that multi, $1.75 into $3.20 into $1.95, returns you $10.92 on Bet365. That is the podcast multi, and it's going to win this week. My best value, look, although I'm backing Tempted in the Percy Sykes, I'll go Military Tycoon because she's $16. And if I had to get a favorite beaten, I think she's a good winning chance, but I've got to be against Alakance in the Sydney Cup. It's the one of the short price favourites in the group ones that I am just slightly against at the price anyway. All right, a couple of questions before we wrap up this podcast. Has been a good one. Twitter, we start with Twitter. Boom Punting, got a couple. What is your boy's favourite day ever at a racetrack? Doesn't have to be punting related. I'll start first. I've got two. Number one, Hong Kong International Races Day 2 years ago with Bish. you know, seeing Golden 60 and Romantic Warrior win in the flesh was enormous. And number two would be Magic Millions 4 years ago. Won a stack of money that day. it was, what was the two-year-old? Cool and Gatter won the two-year-old classic and King of Sparta won the three-year-old and it was a fill-up. What about you boys?
Probably Mr. Brightside's, maybe the Champions Mile or the Maccabi Diva.
Yeah.
Probably the Maccabi Diva because everyone was there.
Nick, favourite day on the track?
Well, even if it'll be a day at Warrnambool, I'd say. There's too many to single out. Just any day at Warrnambool.
Yeah, beautiful. I remember when you backed the annual winner. It was your favourite. What was that thing called in the Nature Strip colours?
What's his name? Kieran trained it.
Yeah, you get back.
Oh, I know the one.
Not a blaze.
Oh, not a blaze. Okay.
No, not a blaze. The other one. It wasn't favorite. It was like $5 at some stage.
It was second or third favorite.
Yeah. Boom punting. Can we get Bot's road tip to win for FFS?
Well, there's no prices yet for the Saturday meet. I can't remember where they're racing, to be honest.
And this one's got four likes. Ben, as a man in your late 20s, that's a dig. I just turned 26, thank you. What's your take on what's happening with all these tariffs? I don't keep up with all this political chat, so I wouldn't have a clue. Leans tag Ryan Arthur and told him to tune in. Beautiful. Ben, Ryan Patton, this is one of my favorite questions. Ben, Kai Ying Rising starts at the 1,000 metres. You begin at the 250 metres. Who wins in a match race? Keeping in mind we're running at Moonee Valley and the track is playing leader, so you'll get all things. So I think Ryan probably needs to just go back and calculate how fast a human can run 250 metres compared to a horse who can run 1,000. I would say I'd probably break 30 seconds for 250 metres.
Oh, if you can't break 30 seconds, you're in trouble, mate. I can break 30 seconds.
So what, an Olympic sprinter runs 200 metres in 22 seconds?
No, the like 20 seconds.
Oh, 20 seconds. 19. All right. So I'd run 250 metres in about 27 seconds maybe. I don't know.
You to run 25 flat. I'd back you to do.
All right, sweet. So I would absolutely piss in and beat Kai Ying Rising. I think a more fairer race would be me at around 450 meters or 400 meters, and then Kai Ying Rising 1,000.
I'd launch Kai Ying Rising.
Well, you wouldn't reckon. So a horse can run 1,000 meters in about 55 seconds, 54
Depends
seconds.
Depends how fit you are. Footy training's just started. You're probably pretty fit.
400 meters. I could definitely run 400 meters in under 55 seconds.
Yeah. Well, they sort of run it in 40 and change.
Yeah.
So it depends how fit you are. Yeah, you probably do 50. Maybe.
Oh, 55. Nah. 50 something. It'd be a good race.
Yeah.
James.
Evens the pair.
Hey, what about Bot and Nico? Nico would need to start at the 100, I reckon.
It'd be a rort.
In my prime, I'd race Kai Ying Rising from 1,000.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, well, Will used to be a runner. I don't think many people know about it.
Hebe Wright was a horse, Ben.
Hebe Wright.
Yeah. I think it was tipped at about $5.50, started $2.60.
Yeah,
huge. And won.
But what were you, a 400-meter specialist?
I was state 800 meters.
Oh, you just had to slip that in there.
Just had to let everyone know.
Hero.
Trumpet. James Smith, Osmar to set a nice hot tempo as pacemaker for commemorative in the last in Sydney? Question mark. Isn't Osmar Friedman?
Yeah, they're both Godolphin, but.
They're both Godolphin, but they're different stable. So, yeah.
She can run a number, like she's run two massive numbers on her day, but she's just, you know, she's so infrequent.
Yeah, she is. I think Stu was going to, said a couple of years ago, she was going to win a Sangster and a Goodwood, whatever. Maybe this is the year.
Stu probably backed her for an Everest.
Yeah, he did. He
backed every horse in an Everest.
Maybe this is the year that she could go close in a Sangster. Who knows? Maybe. Casual call out. With the playoffs coming around next week, who are you loading for the championship, Ben? Yeah, I only bet on basketball once it gets to the playoffs. I'll admit that I do have a mug bet on the Lakers right now, but I don't know. Other than that, who's going well right now, Bob?
We're asking me. I've got no idea.
OKC.
Isn't OKC meant to be OKC, like real good?
Yeah, let's get OKC home for Jack Adam and all the fans. Maxwell, can Lazura measure up to Waller's big girls? She can, but the map is interesting. They've got to go forward from 12 to be able to beat Fangirl. If they are behind Fangirl, they cannot beat her. TW, what percentage of life savings should end up on Autumn Glow this weekend? Bet irresponsibly, they reckon.
Oh, God.
As we said, she's not a 1,200-meter horse. She still should be taking care of him. Hefty Hog, Veer to get rolled, boys. Don't think last start win is as good as people are saying. She's off her best and will be flat come Saturday. We disagree. I don't think she's in her best form right now, but...
Yeah, well, she hasn't been so far this preparation, but this is what... This is the grand final. This is what she's building to.
Lucas Greenwood. Will with one L. He spelt Will correctly, but he spelt your name with one L, which is interesting. Will come up with his own tips this week, or is he just going to copy the ones Jules put up on the Foxcaster video?
Jesus Christ. Oh, I mean, like, I put so much fucking time into this. And, oh, God.
Just copying Jules.
Like, it shouldn't piss me off, but, like, anyway.
This is the one thing that really grinds Potts' gears.
Oh, God, pissing off us. And it shouldn't, like, you know, who cares? But probably spent, like, 10 hours doing the form. I've just noticed that...
All just Julian's to steal Jules' the
exact
tip.
Same. Yeah. Spent 10 hours doing the form just to copy someone else's tips, like...
Yeah. It's so funny.
And I checked him, and we've got pretty similar bets this week. But like, you know, I'm going to back him, and I don't particularly care.
you shouldn't. Gary with two R's. That's an interesting Twitter tag. What's the knock on Fangirl? I think she's a golf tee. What does that mean, Nico? Can you answer that? What's the knock on Fangirl? I think she's a golf tee.
A golf tee?
I don't know. Is this like a saying? What's a golf tee?
Well, I've never heard it before.
I'm guessing she's
straightforward, maybe. I don't know.
I'm guessing you're saying she's immoral, but...
Put in, take out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you saw what I produce off the golf tee, I don't think that's the context you'd be using it in. Maybe what Nico produces off the golf tee is pretty good at the caper. Caleb Shooker, who's the best each way bet this weekend and why is it a tissue? Definitely got a chance. I think she's a great place chance as well, a tissue. But yeah, I don't know who the best each way is. All right, a couple more on Instagram. The Melbourne Agent, I don't know whose Instagram account this is, but rumour has it Nico McGualter has a few stalkers, name and shame them. We can probably skip over that one. Josh Wright, Alentia, $6, good thing. I don't think Alentia's ever been a good thing, but I do think the setup for her is decent on Saturday. Damon Winley, Fangirl being even money is more of a robbery than Bot giving us $6 for Private Harry.
Let's not get started on that.
Didn't give anyone $6 for Private Harry.
You did. And then you backed out like a coward.
It was fake prices. I think Fangirl wins, but she's not in the multi because VSSTN is a little bit more trustworthy. Tom Kennedy, does Dubai Honor stay for the spring? And Ben, do Carlton win their first game of the weekend, first game of the year this weekend? Dubai Honor won't stay for the spring, I don't think. I don't think he's never come for the spring. And the Sydney quarantine laws are a lot easier on horses, so that's a big part of the reason why they don't come in Melbourne in the spring. And will we win our first game of the weekend this year? Yes, we will beat West Coast, and then we will beat North Melbourne, I'm hoping anyway. Both my dad and my little brother have driven up to Adelaide for Gather Round, and hopefully they haven't driven all that way for nothing. Mm-hmm. Tom Kennedy also my dad is a trader at TAB and has told the whole family to bet futures Ka Ying Rising to win the Everest.
Well, smart man.
Does that mean you want to lay it then? Or
Dad's a TAB trader. Look, I think it's sound advice, and the great thing with the Everest is if he doesn't gain a start in the race, if something happens, God forbid, over the next few months, then you will get your money back. Villa versus DeBoyana. Who's the better horse? Says Zach Beckinsale. Villa is the better horse, but DeBoyana has put down three ratings in Australia that are competitive with anything that Villa Sestina has pretty much done outside the Cox Plate. So also a very good horse and flies in Australia. T_Tawari. Not a question, but I'm from a small town in the West Coast in New Zealand and love your podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm also a proud New Zealander. My mum was born over there. No,
New
my
Zealand's
mum was born
a great
over
place.
There.
I loved it when I was over there.
Yeah, yeah. So, she's a proud Māori, or as the Australians like to say, a Maori. Stu Ferenchi, Carl Jung Rising, GWS Giants club song when he arrives in Sydney. That is all. Big, big sound. Like WWE entrance music. Roy O'Meara, if Romantic Warrior sweated up like he did at Maidan, would that suggest he needs a rest?
Yes.
I think horses sweating up, like it can just be, you know, they get worked up, but a lot of the time it actually can signify that the horse has come to the end of its preparation and it needs a spell. So he's done a lot of traveling from Hong Kong to Dubai to Saudi, back to Dubai. Put him on ice for a little bit. He deserves it.
Well, there's every chance that Saudi bottomed them both out.
Yeah. Yeah. He still ran really well, but...
Yeah, 100%.
It was heartbreaking loss. Stu just got two more. Ben, considering it was you and I that added Ka Ying Rising to Everest Markets and we got the juicy price of $15, trumpet trumpet, and $11... Will you be my date to this year's Everest? Hashtag sorry live. Yeah, well, I'm actually attending a wedding in Bali, best mate's wedding during the week. I think it's like a Wednesday or a Thursday wedding. And there's a very high chance I'm getting a plane straight from Bali to Randwick. So
what could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong a week before the Cox Plate?
Bali, Bali straight.
Make sure you don't get Jetstar this time.
Yeah, well, hopefully no delays. But yeah, I can't miss it, can I? I reckon I've got to be booking my plane and getting over to see Ka Ying Rising because it's probably going to be a fat old result for me as well. All right, let's wrap up the podcast there. We are lucky that we flew through Bendigo because the second half did take time. We knew it was
going to. As it should have. Day two of the champs.
Yeah, day two of the championships. I think it's, I don't know, I really love this day. The Queen Elizabeth is just...
I'll tell you next week if we love it or not.
Yeah. The Queen Elizabeth, it's just always one of the best races, not only in Australia, but also the world. And we've got the best horse in Australia right now, Villa Sestina. As I said, she's also one of the best horses in the world going around in it. So good luck this weekend, punters. We know it's going to be feast or famine because there are so many short price favourites. Hopefully you pick the right ones and you lay the right ones as well. You can have a fill up. Before we go into next week, where we've got the Champagne Stakes and the All Aged. Cheers.